This is The State of Things. I'm David Crabtree. Yesterday, a Stokes County Superior Court judge ordered a new trial for Rex Penland, who was on North Carolina's death row for the rape and murder of Vernice Alford in 1992. The reason for the judge's finding may sound familiar. DNA has called into question a key piece of the prosecutor's evidence. Here to help us understand the case and its ramifications is Phoebe Zerwick, a reporter with the Winston-Salem Journal, and Rusty Jacobs, reporter at North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. Rusty, let's just get right to this. Why was Rex Penland given a new trial?
Because of this 2001 statute that says if new DNA evidence is found to be favorable to a defendant, a judge has four options under the law. He could vacate, set aside the judgment, discharge the defendant if the defendant's just in custody, resentence the defendant, or grant a new trial. Option number four, that's what Judge John Craig chose. And my understanding from speaking with one of Penland's attorneys is that he handed down the ruling yesterday somewhat reluctantly, or at least with the added sentence that he could see this new trial coming out just the same way as the first one, but that this new DNA evidence was found to be favorable enough to require a new trial.
Phoebe, you have reported on DNA evidence extensively in the Winston-Salem Journal. Were you surprised with, I know the judge's hands were somewhat tied, but is this what you anticipated?
I was surprised that he ruled on something this major from the bench. But as he began to ask the attorneys questions yesterday, it was pretty clear where he was headed.
And Rusty, Penland was convicted of rape and murder. If you could sort of summarize this crime and the basic case that still remains against Penland.
Right. 1992, Penland was in a pickup with his two twin nephews. They were 19 at the time, Larry and Gary Sapp. They apparently or allegedly picked up Ms. Alford in Winston-Salem, drove her to a rural area of Stokes County, tied her up, and the key to the prosecution's case against Penland in the first place is the testimony of the Sapp brothers, and they will probably testify again in this retrial, which is a big strike against Penland. It's still a major hurdle for him. But they essentially said that he tied up Ms. Alford, had sex with her, and killed her with a knife. That's what has come into question now with this new. And at the time, there was not enough genetic material. Basically, that's blood and sperm to be tested. Back in the early 90s, there was not enough material to determine whose blood and whose sperm it was. This new DNA test that was run by Penland's attorneys or by a lab shows that the blood on this alleged knife, the alleged murder weapon, was not the victim's. But Mr. Penland's, and the sperm that from the lab kit, from the rape kit, it can't be determined whose it was. So that's what is being deemed by Judge Craig as favorable to the defendant.
Anytime we hear DNA, our ears perk up, particularly when we look at someone who's been incarcerated for a number of years or someone who happens to be on death row. Phoebe, when we hear DNA in this part of the state, we oftentimes now think about Alan Gale or Daryl Hunt. You
right.
Reported extensively on the Hunt case. The similarities, though, in this case, I mean, these dots don't exactly connect, do they, at least at this time?
Well, I think we're in a similar position with the Penland case as we were in with the Hunt case back in 1994. So Daryl Hunt, for people who haven't been following the case, was released from prison in 2003 after DNA testing identified a new suspect in the rape and murder of a woman here in Winston-Salem back in 1984. But there'd been DNA testing in Hunt's case back in 1994, and what that testing showed was that he was not the source of the semen evidence in the murder and rape. And the it raised some questions about the evidence against him. There were eyewitnesses who saw him at the scene of the crime, but it wasn't enough to win him a new trial. And in this case, we now have this new law that sets a lower bar than there was back in 1994. So Penland won a new trial, and now what it comes down to is we know that Penland was there, so what it's going to come down to really is whose testimony to believe, his nephew's testimony or his testimony, and there will be some evidence corroborating testimony on both sides.
Rusty.
Yeah, and I was going to say, so of course we're going to have this, we're probably going to have the Sapp brothers testify again against their uncle, Rex Penland. But there is, according to even Penland's own attorneys, other evidence that had nothing to do with these new DNA tests. That's the existence of cigarette butts from the crime scene that matched the brand smoked by Penland. There is a boot print that apparently is consistent with the cowboy boot that he was allegedly wearing at the time. So there are other things that Penland is still going to have to face that helped put him away in the first place.
In the Hunt case, there were racial overtones. That played a significant role as we looked at that case. Mm-hmm. Phoebe, that doesn't appear to be the same case this time around.
Well, it didn't. I mean, the Hunt case was a cause célèbre in Winston-Salem for, you know, almost 20 years. And this crime is a cross-racial crime, but it didn't become the source of any kind of political action up in Stokes County. The district attorney made a little bit of a point of that yesterday, pointing out that it's rare, if not, this is a rare case in that a white man was convicted in the rape and murder of a black woman from Winston-Salem.
And the jury was all white?
I believe so.
And one other thing to point out about this case, about Rex Penland's case, is this is the first capital case that is going back to a retrial or going back to a new trial under this 2001 statute. Daryl Hunt's case was a non-capital case.
Exactly.
You know, Rusty, I was listening to your piece this morning and talking with Penland's attorney. And again, just reiterating something you mentioned a moment ago, this is, at least it appears from a layperson's perspective, to be very much of an uphill fight for Rex Penland right now.
Yeah, well, Stephen Royster, one of the attorneys, he didn't seem to have any illusions about what this means for the next step in Rex Penland's odyssey through the court system. Because, you know, even the judge himself said, look, this could very well turn out the same way the first case did, but the statute says if there's any favorable evidence, grant a new trial. That's one of the options. That's the option he chose. So, you know, he faces the testimony of his nephews, as I said. He faces the cigarette butt. He faces this other evidence and the prosecution is obviously, the state attorneys don't see the clarity of the evidence that has now come from these new tests the same way that Rex Penland's side does. They say it doesn't really prove anything.
Phoebe, I'm curious about what you heard as you and continue to hear as you've written over the years about these cases regarding DNA evidence. Mm-hmm. There are people out there who still believe that the system is the system in the sense that the prosecutors had the case, the man has been convicted, and they still doubt not necessarily the science of DNA, but the application of that science. Did your readers respond to you in that way as you were, as the Hunt case was unfolding, as you wrote about it?
Yeah, well, sure. I mean, I think there are still people in Winston-Salem who believe that because he was convicted twice on testimony from eyewitnesses who saw him at the crime scene, they still believe that he was had a role to play in that crime. So, you know, people, I don't know how to answer the question. People, I don't think it's that people don't accept the DNA evidence, but they don't necessarily accept that the science undercuts other kinds of evidence, mm-hmm. or undermines other mm-hmm. kinds of evidence.
I mean, Rusty, I know in the Alan Gale case, there were people, as we would report on this, who would come to us and say, you know, I understand what's being said there. However, I still have my doubts, no matter what may have happened.
Right, and the court arguments from the DA's office and the state's attorney's office in this case, you know, in their fighting this motion to have a new trial under the new statute, they say, okay, well, there's still apparently, according to the state's attorney's arguments at least, evidence of other genetic material, be it blood residue on some of the items associated with this crime, but but there's an insufficient quantity to determine who it belongs to, where it came from. So do these news tests really shed light, any more light on what happened? And the other thing, too, I just want to point out here is that for a judge to turn around to go to a new trial under the statute, again, Penland's own attorney said yesterday, this is a hard thing for a judge to do, to set aside a verdict by 12, jurors. It's a fairly significant development. But again, under the statute, I think he felt he had no choice.
The state may appeal this judge's ruling.
They have the option of going to the state Supreme Court and appeal. Yeah.
So as far as Rex Penland looks at the horizon, the new trial could come quickly. It could be delayed.
I could defer to Phoebe then. I'm not sure on how quickly, but as of yesterday, the state's Attorney General's office, a spokesman there, said that they were conferring with the Stokes County DA on what to do next.
Yeah, that's what I've heard too.
All right, Phoebe Zerwick, a reporter with the Winston-Salem Journal. Thanks for joining us today. Rusty Jacobs, of course, a reporter here at North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. Rusty, thank you.
You're welcome.
Ahead, a young school teacher on the summer that changed his life. Support for the State of Things comes from listeners who support North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.